Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the IUFRO Division 3 podcast. As most of you know, I am Preston Green, one of two co-hosts. My counterpart, Dr. Woodham Chung, the IUFRO Division 3 coordinator, sends his best regards, and together we would like to thank you for tuning in to this special episode. We are back to traveling abroad for these next few episodes and come to you from Beijing, China, and the IUFRO Regional Congress for Asia and Oceania. This Congress is the first of its kind in this geographic area, and what better place than in the shadow of an emerging forestry economy here in China at large. But more on that to come. This episode will highlight IUFRO as a whole from a unique perspective. So without further ado, the guest for today is Dr. Michael Wingfield, President of the International Union of Forest Research Organizations. Dr. Wingfield, thank you very much for your participation in this podcast.
Preston, it's great to be here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you briefly today.
Well, it's truly a privilege to have you here today and hear from your perspective of IUFRO. As I started to mention, we're here in Beijing, China, at the Asia and Oceania Regional Congress, but there's quite a lot going on here. Can you share with us just a little about the hard work being realized here in Beijing?
Preston, yes, you're absolutely right. A huge amount of work is being done while we're here. But there's also been a huge amount of work done in planning this milestone congress. As you've already said, this is the first time that IUFRO has held a regional congress in the Asia-Oceania region. And that's very special for us. IUFRO is a massive organization, a global organization focused on networking forest researchers. And something that's really important to us is that we connect effectively with our stakeholders globally. So to do that, we hold meetings in different parts of the world. So next year, we will meet in Europe at the time of celebrating the 125th anniversary of IUFRO. The following year, our plan is to have a meeting in North America again, probably in Oregon, and then we will be in the run-up to our next World Congress, which will be held in 2019. It will be October of 2019 in Curitiba in Brazil. So back on meeting here in Beijing, we've anticipated having a meeting in the Asia-Oceania region for a long time. And we've been very excited to be able to connect with our many stakeholders in this region. The area is obviously incredibly important, and you've alluded to that in terms of forestry. And IUFRO has about 25% of its membership in this area. So it's crucially important that we connect more closely with them. Our experience has been that while one can connect using internet and meetings in various places, being on home ground is really important. And I think you can already see this in the outcomes of this meeting. There are many, many people here. It's a meeting of about between 800 and 1,000 people. And although there are perhaps 20% from other parts of the world, the majority are from the Asia-Oceania region. So I feel incredibly happy as to what is being achieved here.
Yeah, one doesn't have to spend much time at this conference to know that you're absolutely right. During the first Division 3 podcast with Dr. Chung, we briefly discussed the role and objectives of IUFRO as a whole, but can you highlight some points about IUFRO that you feel are especially important?
Yeah, Preston, you get me on a favorite topic. When I start talking about IUFRO, I can talk for a very long time, and I'll try to be brief. My entire career has been connected to IUFRO. I became involved as a student, was invited to participate in one of the working parties. We have in the region of 260 working parties in IUFRO, and slowly moved through the organization. So it's an organization I know extremely well, and I'm very proud to be able to lead the organization as its president today. IUFRO is unique. It is the only organization that focuses specifically on research, so forestry research. We're very special in the sense that we connect huge numbers of people globally in the research space, and we're able to call upon this large stakeholder group to inform governments in their process of making policy based on solid research. So we feel very strongly about that role. Something important about UFRO that I think is really important is that as an organization, we never advocate. So we are asked to express opinions about world trends in terms of forestry continuously. Let me give you an example. For instance, does UFRO support genetic modification of forest trees? And the answer is, when we're asked those sorts of questions, we call upon the research community that we represent to interrogate the questions and come to the party with informed knowledge, which we then present. So we will present knowledge and allow policymakers and then governments to make their decisions based on solid evidence. So it's evidence-based decision-making that we promote.
That's a very powerful part of this organization that I'm glad you highlighted and brought out. IUFRO's sustained global impact, which can be seen by what you've just described, as well as the organization celebrating its 125th anniversary in Germany next year, is truly astounding and a credit to the leadership of active participants like yourself. As you know, this podcast highlights the work of Division 3, but can you speak a little more as to how this division fits into the rest of IUFRO as a whole?
Preston, yes. To get some context here, IUFRO has perhaps a slightly complex structure, and I think it does confuse people. So I mentioned just now working parties. So let me get a context for you here. Research in IUFRO is divided into divisions, and there's a reason for that. When IUFRO first started, and that goes back to 1892, so 124 years ago, there was one division. What was important in forestry in those days was silviculture, and that is Division 1. And now there are 9 divisions. And divisions are structured in having research groups, so they focus within particular areas. And then within the research groups, there are what we call working parties. These are smaller units that focus on very specific subjects. So, for instance, in the division that I have been most involved in throughout my career is Division 7. Division 7 is focused on forest health. There are 3 research groups, one that focuses on climate change, air pollution and climate change, one that focuses on insects, and one that focuses on diseases as they affect forest health. Some divisions have fewer research groups, some have more working parties, and that is really up to the leadership of the divisions. So taking Division 3, this is forest engineering, it happens to have fewer working parties. They focused on the research groups, so larger units, and that has worked incredibly well for the division. And I think you will agree that Division 3 is very active and having many meetings and really promoting the field of forest engineering. So within the context of all of UFRO, many divisions, many units, Division 3 is performing extremely well. But let me add something more to this, because you can already be thinking that with these divisions and these structures within divisions, one has the danger of minimal or not sufficient communication across the disciplines. And that's been a challenge for UFRO in recent years. And it's an issue that I've been personally quite involved in. So what we try very hard to do is to foster communication across the division. So not only within the divisions, because in some cases, participants of a working party that, for instance, might be completely focused on a very small specific topic. It might be fungi that cause diseases of shoots of some particular tree. And that's important. But that particular group will be focused in that particular space. Now, we would like to have communication across within the divisions, but also across the divisions. The way we achieve that, and it's working very well, is to have larger meetings. So this regional congress is an example where there's participation across all of the divisions. But what we also have is task forces. And we've structured and restructured task forces over the years. And currently there are 10 task forces dealing with big questions, for instance, biological invasions, genetics of forest trees, or the green economy. And they're proving to be really useful instruments to ensure cross-divisional, cross-UFRO research questions.
one thing that Division III and Dr. Chung has pushed to achieve during the last few years, and you hinted about and briefly touched on, is increased communication, collaboration, and education. And that's proving to not be just idle talk. Just in the last year, Division III has sponsored 16 international conferences, five of which were the results of cross-divisional and cross-discipline collaboration, as you said. This podcast continues to expand and reach all corners of the globe. The first ever IUFRO Division III doctoral student conference representing 9 countries was held in Corvallis, Oregon of the United States. And through a recent report, there appears to be no signs of slowing down for the coming year in 2017. Continued international meetings, communication and collaboration, and fostering the next generation of research scientists into our discipline are at the top of the division's agenda.
Preston, I'm really glad that you have raised the issue of the future generations and the importance of empowering the youth in terms of forestry research. This is an issue that is obviously very, very important to UFRO and the future of UFRO. It always has been. I think it will be even more so in the future. So in order to connect more effectively with the youth in forestry, students in forestry, UFRO has very strongly connected with the organization that you, I'm sure you know, called IFSA, or the International Forestry Students Association. And I've had the privilege to work quite closely with IFSA during the last few years. In fact, I attended IFSA's annual symposium last year in the Philippines. They have annual symposia that bring together about 120 forestry students globally in different countries of the world. So they move around the world. They're absolutely remarkable in the way they do this. So, and they call these symposia the International Forestry Student Symposium. So I met with the IFSA group during their symposium in the Philippines last year. And in fact, just a few weeks ago, I was with the group when they met in Austria. So they had spent 2 weeks meeting with decision makers in the forestry research community in Austria, looking at the country, looking at forestry in the country, all aspects of forestry, visiting commercial companies involved in forestry and so forth, and also getting to know each other. So IFSA is remarkable in the way that it also promotes cross-cultural understanding in the forestry research world. I mean, you can imagine a meeting of 120 students from many, many different countries, many cultures getting together, living together. As students, they're vibrant, happy to, what did they tell me? They spent a couple of their nights sleeping on a tennis court. They move with sleeping bags and pillows and do really amazing work. So for UFRO as an organization, obviously, established researchers are running the activities of UFRO. We've taken very seriously our connection with the youth through initiatives with IFSA. And let me give you a couple of examples. One is that we fund what we call a UFRO-IFSA joint position at our headquarters office in Vienna. And a young forestry researcher by the name of Janice Burns is currently the incumbent of that position. And she is the third person to fill that position. It typically changes every year or two, the company changes every year or two. So that gives us a connection between a strong bridge between IFSA and UFRO. IFSA for the foresters of the future, the youth in forestry and forestry research, and UFRO, the older generation. So bridging those two pieces. The other initiative we have ongoing is a task force. I mentioned the fact that we have 10 task forces just now. One of them is a task force jointly run by IFSA and UFRO, and they are investigating the importance and the scope of and the future of forestry education, and they'll report to us formally. I think they're reporting at this meeting, and they'll report formally again in Freiburg when we have our 125th anniversary. So to sum up the issue, all of the divisions, you mentioned activities in Division 3 to connect with the youth in forestry research. You talked about your Division 3 doctoral symposium, and I've seen some feedback of that. What I said to your professor, to Woodham, I was rather jealous when I saw some of the pictures in the report, because I would like to have been on that on that journey, on that in, as part of that learning experience. And you know, perhaps when we meet in Oregon in 2018, we can do something like that before the older generation of forestry researchers. So we'll see what lies ahead. But we take very seriously the issue of education in forestry, and we'll do so more in the future. And I'd like to just add a little comment there, a challenge. So I personally am engaged with the IFSA community. I managed to raise some money to fund some activities for them. Because I have an African background, the money is focused towards African initiatives, forestry education in Africa, which is something I take very seriously. And one of the challenges that I've placed with them, or put before them, is to think about the future of forestry. Forestry today, forests and forestry, and these are different words, very different to even 10 years ago. What is it going to look like in the future? For instance, will we be cutting trees from natural forest? And I'm not going to tell you what I think here, but because these are controversial issues. Will all commercially planted trees be genetically modified? Will we be producing paper like we do today? Probably not, I think is an answer that you would give me. What are trees going to be producing for us? Will trees be used more as Wi-Fi conductors? And you know, one can go on and on. But the important issue in terms of the youth is, what should the education look like? So you're a student of forestry, forest engineering specifically. What should you be learning? What do you need to know about? If it's about, if in forest engineering, this is a huge subject, going from paper production to cutting trees, machines that cut trees, and I mean, it's enormous. What should you be learning about? Should you be thinking about genetic modification of trees? What are pests and diseases going to mean in terms of forest engineering? Do you need to know anything about that? As an academic myself, I think about this very seriously, and there's no question in my mind that the vastness of forests and forestry and what forestry means has to imply a huge amount of specialization in the future. But what does that then say to the person who is the traditional forester? As I said to some young people in Vienna recently, you know, if you're wearing lederhosen and you know, your dream is to be in a forest with a dog and looking after the forest. What is that going to be like in the future? And what forestry education fits that particular element of this very, very broad field? Are universities going to be teaching traditional forestry? Will that be a more technical field? This is an enormous discussion, but an incredibly important discussion. So my challenge to IFSA and to the youth in forestry is to try and tell me, and I won't be around at that time, but tell me what you think forestry is going to be like, what forestry education is going to need to be like in 25 years, in 50 years, and when UFRO celebrates its 250th birthday.
That will be an interesting topic of discussion, and I'm sure that it will be nothing like any of us imagine today. I'm sure we'll be vastly surprised by what happens. But as a student, it's inspiring, to say the least, to hear your thoughts about the future of education in forestry, and specifically what organizations like IUFRO and IFSA do. So Dr. Wingfield, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Division 3 podcast to hear your thoughts about the future of IUFRO in Division 3. Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you too, President.
This has been another installment of the IUFRO Division 3 podcast, and I'm your host, Preston Green. IUFRO Division 3 podcasts are produced by myself and Wadham Chung, along with support from Faye and Lucille Stewart Endowment Funds at Oregon State University.